I want to teach on a merry heart, or how to have a merry heart. Go to Proverbs 17. Thank you, Jerry, for asking me to teach. Proverbs 17, verse 22, says, Proverbs 17, 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Which one would you rather have there? Would you rather have something that dries your bones up? Like, so you like a mummy or something like that? Or would you like to have a merry heart? And it says here that a merry heart doeth good. Doeth good means it's good for you. Having a merry heart is good for you. Like a medicine. And a medicine is something that heals you or cures you. It's like the healing of a wound or the removal of a bandage, which is an interesting thing. Having a merry heart is, it heals you. It cures you. And it's good for you. One translation would be, a merry heart is good medicine. And it's just really good for people to have a merry heart. Now, merry means to rejoice, to be rejoicing, to be glad, to be joyful, to be delighted. So if you have a heart that's rejoicing or glad or joyful, or it's delighted in something, is it good for you? It's really good for you. It's good for you. It's healing. Steve Zalesi gave me an article about how scientists or medical people have noticed that happy people are healthier. Isn't that weird? It's not so funny. One translation would be, a glad heart maketh a good cure. Or another would be, a cheerful heart is good medicine. And it says here, a merry what? Heart. A merry heart. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So it's talking about being glad or joyful in your, guess what, heart. Now I'm going like this, but that's not really where your heart is according to the Bible. Where is your heart according to the Bible? I thought it was in your butt. No, it's in your head. It's in your head, right? It's your thinking. So it's how you think can really change your life. It can change your brainwaves, and it can make you your life better how you think. Look at Proverbs 23. How do you get a merry heart? By thinking, by what you think about. In Proverbs 23, verse 6, it says, eat not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his, what are dainty meats? I don't even know, but they sound good, don't they? Neither desire thou his dainty meats. But look at this, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So why is his heart where it is at? Because of how he thinks. And the things you think about make up your heart, make up your heart. The things that you dwell on, the thoughts that you dwell on, the things that you think about over and over and over again, that becomes your heart. That becomes your heart. Look at Matthew 6. So if you see someone who's always angry, what are they probably thinking about? The little cute little puppies all the time. Do you think they're thinking about cute little puppies? Cute little perros. Now, what is a puppy in Spanish? What? Perritos, little doggies. Perritos. If you meet someone who's angry all the time, probably what are they thinking about? Things that make them angry, right? And you can think about this as the thoughts that you think are like little vitamins. Like each sentence is like a little vitamin, right? And you can think good thoughts that makes your heart merry, or you can eat vitamins that are like poison that make your heart angry or make your heart sad or something like that. One of my favorite relatives takes vitamins, and she takes so many vitamins, she bought a button box, you know, like a huge box for the buttons like this, right? And she has it filled with vitamins. And every day she takes like 3 of these, 4 of those, 10 of these. And I'll go, what's that one for? That's for your joints. But what's that red one for? Oh, that red one is for mood. What are those 3 green ones for? That's for your heart. What is that blue one for? That's to make sure that your toes don't fall off, you know? And I suppose you could think of your thoughts as either vitamins for your heart or poison for your heart. And you decide what you're going to think about. Each little sentence is like a little vitamin. Like you can think, my God shall supply all my needs. That's a nice little vitamin, isn't it? or you can think, I'm in trouble. And the thoughts that you think the most, that becomes your heart. In Matthew 6, verse 19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now, treasures in the biblical culture was talking about your thoughts. Treasures means anything laid up in store. Here it's referring to our thoughts. So here it's referring to thoughts as things that you store up, things that you store up. It's like all the things that you think, like go into like a vault or something like that. And the thoughts that you think the most become your, guess what? Your heart, your heart. So how can you have a merry heart? You can think thoughts that make you glad. You can think thoughts that make you delighted. You can think thoughts that give you great joy. And it comes out of your heart. It says in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Don't keep thinking about material things, you know, five senses things, where moth and rust does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, those thoughts that you store up, the thoughts that you think the most, there will your what? Heart be also. So how can you have a merry thought? Think some nice, merry thoughts. First of all, I'm going to tell you some thoughts that are poison. These are poison pills, right? These are the ones that if you think these things, you can make sure you're going to be unhappy and grouchy and discouraged all the time. And I know some of you want to be that way, so that's why I'm going through this part of it, because you want to give people a chance to go either way. In Ephesians 4, verse 26, it says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun come down upon your wrath. So one of the things that you can think about that'll make your life miserable is, like I said, what? Things that make you angry. Let's think about some things that made us angry today. You want to? Go ahead, right? What made you angry today? Today I got this shirt back from the dry cleaner and it was all wrinkled. And I had to iron it again. I had to iron the wrinkles out so that you guys wouldn't think I was some sort of bum when I came up here. You know, he got a wrinkly shirt. I could just picture it. That guy's got a wrinkly shirt. And then I knew that if you saw me with a wrinkly shirt, it would probably ruin your heart. You'd probably just be upset about everything after that. So I had to iron it. And you know, I'm still mad about that. We paid the dry cleaner to iron this shirt. And guess what? I had to iron it again. And that's why I'm not going to teach anymore. I'm just so upset about everything. No. What do you do with things like that? Will things make you angry in this life? Will people make you angry in this life? What does the word say? Keep thinking about it. And I am just shocked sometimes at myself about how often I think about things that make me angry. And you know, it doesn't make my heart very merry. It doesn't make my heart merry. It makes me sort of angry. And it makes me sort of cynical sometimes. And so that's like a poison pill, thinking about things that make you angry. Will things make you angry in this life? Will people make you angry in this life? Should you keep thinking about it over and over and over again? No, that becomes your heart and you become an angry person. This one says, this verse says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. So what? Don't stay angry. And who says that? God says that. Just don't be an angry person. And how can you not be an angry person? Forget about it. It says, do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Forget about it. And if you find yourself dwelling on things that make you angry, stop. Stop. Think about things that bless you. Think about the things of God. Think about things you're thankful for, or you will be an angry person. In Proverbs 15, it's pretty simple. Life is pretty simple. And think about those thoughts as little pills or maybe little snacks. I don't know. But the ones that you store up the most, think of yourself as a chipmunk. And you're always storing up nuts, right? And if you store up bad nuts, what's going to happen? You're going to be an unhealthy chipmunk. What is chipmunk in Spanish? Is there a chipmunk? Huh? Was it, see, a little rodent?
Roedor.
Roedor? Roddy Dollar. Okay, sorry, I shouldn't have said chipmunk. A squirrel. Squirrel. A, let's see, a, I don't know. Proverbs 15. I didn't know there's no chipmunk. Proverbs 15. Verse 18. I'm angry about the chipmunks. You know, I've met a lot of angry people. And it says here in Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man always blesses everybody around him. Is that what that says? A wrathful man, what? Stirreth up strife. Is always causing strife. But he that is slow to anger does what? Appeases strife. So one of the thoughts that are bad for you is things that make you angry or things you're angry about. Just stop thinking about it. Look at Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Another thought that is bad for you is worrying about things. Worrying about things. Being anxious about things. And these are bad habits to get into. And God's word helps us to change these habits. In Matthew 6, verse 25, it says, deedle, deedle, deedle. 6:25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. And that take no thought is don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat? And the body than raiment? Isn't there more to life than just the material things, the physical things? And God says, don't worry. Don't worry, right? And worrying about things, does it help anything? Look at verse 27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Does worrying change anything? Being anxious about things change anything? Worrying about being sick, worrying about having your needs met, worrying about the future? Those are thoughts that make your heart like sour, make your heart uptight, make your heart unsure, uneasy. And so we don't worry. Another thing that people think about a lot is themselves. Look at Philippians 2. And this is a bad one. People are always worried about themselves. They're thinking about their status. Am I the most popular kid? You know, why do people like other people better? Or sin consciousness. They're always thinking about condemning themselves or thinking about what's wrong with them or something like that. And that's not a good thing to think about either, thinking about yourself all the time. Always being more concerned about yourself than anybody else, you know. In Philippians 2, verse 4, it says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on what? Be more concerned about others than you are with yourself. But this is another thought or pattern of thinking that is bad for people, to just think about yourselves all the time. Think about other people. Be concerned about other people. So that's a few of them. And there's a lot more, you know, you could talk about condemnation and everything. But these thoughts, if you store them up, if you think about those, dwell on those things the most, that becomes your heart. And then you will be angry. You will be nervous and worried all the time. You will be selfish and self-centered all the time. And you don't want to think those thoughts. The thoughts that are good for you, here's some thoughts that are good for you. And will help you to have a merry heart, help you to have a joyful heart. Look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3, verse 13 says, forbearing one another and what? That is such a great way to think. Every time you think about something that has made you angry or somebody that has made you angry, what thought can you think? I forgive them. I forgive them. How many words is that? I forgive them. That's just seven little words. No, it's three. And that's like a little vitamin. Think about it. I forgive them. Or you could even quote something from the word like, I forgive them as Christ has forgiven me. And those are the thoughts you want to store up in your mind. And if you notice yourself, let me read the rest of the verse. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, keep thinking about that over and over and over. Is that what God says? Do you have a quarrel against anybody right now? You know, some, what's a good word for coral? I'm not going to say beef because that's not a, that's right. That's an idiom. What's another word for coral? Conflict. That's right. Or you're mad at somebody or somebody has done you wrong. What's a good way to think about that? When you think about that coral, this person wasn't there for me when they should have been there, or they forgot my birthday, or that person called me old baldy head. In their mind, I knew they were. When you think about these quarrels that come up, what's a good thought to think? Forget it. What it says here in the word, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, what? Also do you. So just think, I forgive people. I'm a forgiving person. I forgive that person. You cannot go through this life without getting burned and hurt by people. And then if you dwell on it, that becomes your heart. And you become like angry or suspicious, or you don't want to let anybody in. You just want to be the kind of person that what? Forgives people. And it's really hard to believe that Christians don't forgive each other. Because it isn't a big deal about being a Christian that Jesus Christ died for our sins and all of our sins. God has forgiven us. All of our sins are forgiven. And why don't Christians forgive each other? Come on. Must be because they keep playing that thing over and over in their mind. What happened to them? What that person did? The situation they got into. Stop playing that situation over and over in your mind. Just say, I forgive them. I've been forgiven. I forgive them. I forgive Patty. Matthew 6. You understand that? Please forgive people. It's the only way to live through this life unless you're going to be a hermit. And sooner or later, all hermits must unite. Now that's that would translate, right? What's a hermit? What's a hermit in Spanish? Hermitaño? It's a male hermit? No, okay. Are you going to live alone the rest of your life? Then you're going to have to forgive people. You ever want to have friends? They're going to hurt you. Who's talking up there? I don't forgive that. Matthew 6. That's rude. So thoughtless. Man, I'm going to think about that all night. Matthew 6. You understand what I'm getting at, though? Think the good vitamins. Think the good vitamins. Matthew 6, verse 25. And yes, if you're thinking, doesn't he know he already read this? Yes, I do know I already read this. You're just used to thinking that older people have lost their minds, I guess. In Matthew 6, 25 says, therefore I say unto you, don't worry about your life. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? That's a great question. Isn't there more to life than the material things, the five senses things? And then it says this, behold, behold. Behold means to, take a look at, open your eyes. Behold, to look unto, to view with steadfast and attention. Instead of thinking about what you're worried about, put your attention somewhere else. Behold, the fowls of the air. Put your attention on how God takes care of everything, right? And that's the way to think. Instead of worrying about stuff, think about how God has it all figured out and how God takes care of everything. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet, look at this, your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Isn't that a great way to think? God takes care of birds. He'll take care of me. Isn't that better than worrying about something? God will take care of me. He takes care of everything. And then, which of you, by taking thought, can add any one cubit unto stature? Worrying, that taking thought is worrying, does not change anything, doesn't help anything. The only thing it changes is your heart. And it's very hard to be merry and full of joy if you're worried all the time. And how to not be aware of time? Think about how God always takes care of stuff. How wonderful he is. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. Consider, think about this is the beautiful time for flowers here. Think about how God has planned all that stuff out. Put your thinking on God. Put your thinking on what God does, how God takes care. Consider the lilies of the field. how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Put your eyes on God. Think about God. Look at Isaiah 40. You could actually, now this sounds funny, spend all day thinking about God. Just how great he is. The cool things he's done. The cool things he's done for you. And you know what is a great way to think about God? Read the Word. Read the Word. That's one of the reasons he provided the Word, so that we could think spiritual thoughts, not just be in the five senses all the time, so that we could be blessed, so that we'd have thoughts to store away in our heart that would help us to be blessed and joyful in any situation, even if it seems dark, even if it seems like we should be worried about it. We've stored up these thoughts from God's Word, these spiritual things from God's Word that help us to have joy, to have hope, to look forward to deliverance, to anticipate wonderful things. It comes from thinking God's Word, and how wonderful to have God's Word. In Isaiah 40, verse 21, says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he, talking about God, that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. He's so big. And I'm just making the point, think about how big your Father is. How can you be worried if you're thinking about how wonderful and powerful and kind and understanding God is? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. He's so big. That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain. What a picture to think of God. God can just stretch out all the heavens like what? Could he take care of your rent? You know what I'm saying? Why not think these thoughts? That stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. That bringeth the princes to nothing. All these rulers, politicians, kings, what do they mean to God? Governments, what do they mean to God? Nothing, nothing. He's so much bigger. He's so much more powerful. He maketh the judges of the earth what? They're useless compared to God. He's over all this. He's so much bigger than all this stuff that goes on. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth. And look at this. And he shall also just blow upon them, and they shall what? All these situations, all these governments, all these princes, all these kings, all these things that happen on this earth, to God, they're what? You can just blow one blow and it'll go away. How big is the God that you pray to? What can he really do? Think those thoughts. Don't just look at the situation, the bad situation, what's going on in your life that's a little scary. You've got a God. You've got the one true God. Verse 24 again, yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stalk shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as what? What a picture. To God, it's like, he's just blown. I'll be away. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? And look at this. Lift up your eyes on high. And that's talking about thinking also. Lift up. What are you looking at? Are you looking at the world? Are you looking at the news? Are you looking at stupid dancers on TikTok? That's depressing. No, that's great. I can do this for oop, oop, oop. I'm done. But lift up your eyes on high. Do you ever think of taking your eyes off your phone and thinking about God? Just thinking about how big God is. Thinking about what he can do for a person's life. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things. Behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is past? over from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? That's the God we pray to. That's the God that we say we believe in. He never gets tired. And look at what he's called. He's the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. That's your God. Think about him. Think about what you have when you have a God like that. Fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He understands it all. Can he tell you what to do? Can he show you what to do? He giveth power to the faint. Can he give you power if you're faint? And to them that have no might, can he increase your strength? He can increase your strength. Think of the records you've read of how God has increased people's strength, made them strong. Think of what God has done in your life to make you strong. Those are good vitamins. Those are good vitamins. Instead of what's before you via the five senses. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Verse 26 again, lift up your eyes where? On high. What are you thinking about? Are you thinking about the situations before you? It's all five senses information. There is so much more involved in this life. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 17. How about this? You having a hard time? Look at this in verse 17. What does God call it? That's a great way to think about it, isn't it? It's a light affliction. It's a light affliction. All this tough stuff that happens in life. A light affliction. And that means it's bearable. It's bearable. For our light affliction. And look at the next line. This is a great way to think. This is a great thought. For our light affliction, which is but what? Just a moment. It's just a moment. The things that you go through are going to end. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. How, that's a great thought, isn't it? You're having a hard day? What could you say? It's a light affliction, it's but for a moment. Isn't that cool? Oh, I can be joyous about that then. I'm not joyous that having a hard day, but I'm joyous that it's just going to be for a moment. I can have joy there. Anticipation is a great way to have joy, right? I'm going on a vacation this summer. And every time I think about it, makes me happy. Makes me happy because I'm anticipating, you know, sitting on a beach and just sitting there some more and then just sitting there some more and then sitting there a little longer and then eating lunch. And for some reason, that makes me happy. And also, when we went to buy our tickets, we thought we were getting cheap tickets, but then they wanted $150 for each piece of luggage. And Carol, who is my wife, in case you don't know, she figured out that for 20 more or 50 more dollars, we could fly first class instead of paying the hundred and something dollars and paying $150 for the luggage. And so we're going to fly first class. And you know, I'm sitting here in a room looking at people, and that's nice. But when I think about flying first class to a beach, it makes me happy. Why can't we do that? You know, we are going to be gathered together, right? And we have a lot to anticipate. And the worst in the darkest times, it's a light affliction that lasts for a moment. Because where are we going? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. Come on. We what? We don't look at the things that are seen. We don't go by our five senses. We don't focus on the situation. We don't look at how bad it is. We don't look at the things that we perceive by our five senses or that our flesh perceives or something like that. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are what? not seen. Or the spiritual things, the things coming up. You understand? For the things which are not seen are temporal. They're not going to last. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. And in chapter 5, verse 7, it says, for we walk by faith, not by what? Not by sight. Look at, I'm jumping around here a little bit. Look at Matthew 14. 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Very cool. It's a good habit. Apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they said, ah! Cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, don't be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said what? Okay. Who did he ask this of? The Lord Jesus Christ. Did Jesus Christ always do the Father's will? And the words that he spoke, weren't they what the Father told him to say? So this is like, you know, God via Jesus Christ saying, you can do that. You can do that. You can walk on the water. You can walk on the water. Come, verse 29. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he did what? He walked on the water to go to Jesus. So could he do it? He did it. Why? He was told that he could by the Lord Jesus Christ. But, verse 30, when he what? Saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Remember, we walk by what? Not by sight. One of the ways to have joy in any situation is to think spiritually, not go by your five senses. Always think spiritually. Don't go by your five senses. Can you imagine Peter? He was told by the Lord Jesus Christ, like I said, I'm sure God told him, you know, that's how that all worked. He was told, you can walk on the water. And what happened? But then what did his senses tell him? You cannot. And those will always contradict each other in your life until you're gathered together or until you fall asleep. There will always be a fight between your flesh and your spirit, between the five senses things and the spiritual things. And he said, come, verse 29. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Wherefore didst thou doubt? And doubt means to stand in two ways, to be uncertain as to which to take. Wait a minute. Spiritually, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I could walk on water. Five senses wise, people don't walk on the water. People don't do that, especially on a windy day when everything's boisterous. He went back and forth, and finally, which one out? The senses went out. How much joy do you think he had when he realized he was walking on the water? Right. And how much joy do you think he had when he started to sink? But then he knew what to do, didn't he? He asked Jesus Christ to help him, right? And Jesus said, wherefore didst thou doubt? Well, he went by his five senses. He went by his five senses. Look at Galatians 5. And one of the ways to not have great joy, not have a merry heart, is to go by your senses. To just go by what things look like. To go by what your flesh says. To go by what your old man says. In Galatians 5, verse 16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. Lust is to fix the desire upon, to have the affections or directed toward anything. And against, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, is in opposition to or competition with. Your flesh, the man of the five senses, the old man, competes with what? The Spirit. And they're always going to disagree. Against is in opposition to or competition with, contrary to. Contrary means to lie opposite, to oppose, to be adverse to. You can't walk on the water. He said I could. You can't. Flesh versus spirit. And you know, you're going to fight that until the gathering, because you'll always have an old man. And one of the ways to have a merry heart is to think spiritually, not go by your senses. One translation of this is, in fact, the flesh craves against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, for these things are opposed to each other, with the result that you do not do what you desire to do. They are contrary. They are constantly fighting each other. So the information you get via your five senses is constantly contradicting the information you get from who? From God. And one of the cool things about this life is that we can think spiritually. We can think we have this great God who will take care of us, who will meet all of our needs, who has forgiven us, who is so kind, who will never leave us or forsake us, who is so powerful, the Lord of hosts, the Lord God of grace. We can remember the spiritual world. In the collateral reading called The Bible Tells Me So, or the Blue Book, chapter 3, the chapter is called Are You Limiting God? By Dr. Victor Paul Werwell. He says, we frequently limit God in ourselves by our wrong believing, by accepting the knowledge that comes to us through the senses. That's one of the ways people are always upset and worried and negative. They accept the knowledge that comes to them through their five senses. Our reason says, that just cannot be. That can't be. And we confess the negative, and we confess the negative, when all the time his spirit within us is crying out, sufficiency in everything. Is that what God says? God's word is a spiritual book, authored by God. And he says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, sufficiency in everything. And yet our reason says that just cannot be. And we stand in the balance. Sufficiency in everything. We have been so schooled to revere the knowledge that comes to us through our five senses that we fail to recognize the knowledge that comes from the higher realm, the spiritual, where the word of God and not reason has first place. The spiritual, where the word of God and not reason has first place. Both realms or worlds are here. The natural world is factual. The spiritual world is true. As there are four kingdoms in this world, and one supersedes the other, the plant kingdom, animal kingdom, kingdom of man, and the kingdom of God, so there is a natural world and a supernatural or spiritual world. The natural world and everything in it comes to the mind through or by way of the natural senses. The truths of the spiritual world are absolutely not dependent upon the senses, but rather on the spirit from God in man. And the greatest way that I know to have a merry heart is to think spiritually and not go by the knowledge or the reason of our five senses. Look at John 6. John 6. Just because things look bad doesn't mean God is out of work. In John 6, verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, there's all these people. How many people did it have to be? Who knows? Is this the 5,000? Yeah, whatever. Ton of people. So he sees all these people, verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, hey, Philip, look at all these people, thousands of people. Whence shall we buy bread? How can we get bread for all these people? All right, there you go. What's the possibilities? You got to think spiritually or five senses. Verse 6, And this he said to prove him, for he himself, he knew what he would do. And what did he do? You suppose there's a little joy in that? He had a little twinkle in his eye, maybe? Because here was, well, let's go on. You know what I mean, though? Just the anticipation of what he was about to do, because he knew God could do it. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, all right, here we go. Let's reason this out. Let's look at what we have. 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, for every one of them may take a little. So he goes, well, we have 200 pennies. That's what we're limited to. So we could buy enough bread with 200 pennies and everybody could have like just a crumb. So I guess that's about all that can happen, Jesus. And yet, verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there was a lad here. I don't know where this lad comes from all the time. One person out of thousands has a little bit of food. The rest of them have nothing. I don't know. This must be an enterprising lad. There is a lad here which hath, okay, first of all, Philip's like, well, we have 200 pennies. We could buy everybody a crumb. That's about as far as we could go with this. That's what we're limited to. And then Andrew, I found a lad. He had a bulgy little backpack. He has 5 barley loaves. That's just 5 barley loaves. Let me just hold this up in front of all these people. I don't think. 5 barley loaves and 2 what? Small fishes. But what are they among so many? It's so funny that these men were raised Israelites. They didn't really watch cartoons when they were growing up or, you know, Scooby-Doo or anything like that. They knew the word. And they knew that God had fed people all throughout history. They knew that God had given Israel, the Israelites, manna from heaven, a food that no one had ever heard about before. God invented, and they knew that he fed them 40 years. They had their needs met. He fed them with manna 40 years. And they knew about Elijah. And as far as I can tell, he was fed by God more than any other guy. They knew that Elijah was fed when he went by a brook, he was fed by ravens. God provided food for him by ravens, bringing him bread and flesh twice a day. What a way to feed somebody, right? But God is in the feeding business. God is always providing for his people. And they knew these records. And then when the stream ran out, remember with Elijah, he went to that widow and she had just a barrel of meal and a cruse of oil and there was nothing in it, just one more meal left. And yet that never ran out. The meal never ran out. The oil never ran out. And they knew those records. They knew that God could make something out of nothing. They knew that God could provide food for people. And then, of course, Elisha also, when he decided to quit, he went and slept under a juniper tree, and an angel woke him up, and there was a cake baking on the coals. More food for him, right? And so, can God provide food? Did Jesus Christ know that? But was he going by his senses? Here's all these 1,000 people, and there's 200 pennyworth. It's not going to happen. It can't be done. Here's all these 1,000 of people. There's 2 little fishes and 5. Can't be done. Yeah, it can be done. Because we have what? God thinking spiritually, not going by your 5 senses, not going by your bank account or your job or your connections or your intelligence, thinking spiritually, that it's a spiritual world and your God is tops. Your God is the greatest and that he'll take care of you is cause for merriment. And I'll bet that Jesus Christ was like, this is going to be fun. This is going to be so cool because I know God. I know what God can do. And I'll bet he was just so blessed, even they might be thinking, you guys, are you ever going to get it? Verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. They ate all they wanted. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them who had eaten. So will God take care of it? You can look at the five loaves. You can look at the two fishes and be discouraged. Or you can look at the five loaves and the two fishes or the 200 penny worth and go, yeah, that's all I have. But what does God have? Think spiritually. Think spiritually. Think what the word says. Think about who your father is. Don't go by your senses. And I guarantee you, there's always a fight between your reason and your five senses and the things that God can do. It's said in Galatians that flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. It's not just saying your flesh says, eat all the cake you want. And your spirit says, don't eat cake, go on a diet. It's more like the spirit says, it can happen. God can do it. You're more than a conqueror. And your flesh, your senses, your reason says, no, it can't. Look at what you have. Look at what you're limited to. So we are spiritually minded people. And that's great peace. And it causes great joy in any situation because we look forward to what God can do day by day in our life. Look at 2 Kings 6. Isn't it a joy to think about what God can do for you? Think spiritually. Don't go by your five senses. Don't go by your reason. Don't go by how people treat you even, or how you feel you should be treated. Get your mind off of yourself. Think spiritually what God says, what God says about things. You ever look in the mirror and go, I'm discouraged already this morning? Well, you know how I avoid that? I don't even look in the mirror. I take a shower. I know I'm bald. I know I'm old. I just go to the bedroom and dry myself off. Try to find some clothes that aren't wrinkled. But did you ever look in the mirror and go, it's Christ in me. That's spiritual. I am a badass on this earth. Sorry. I scare devil spirits when I walk into the room. I have the seal of God on me. How about that? Is that not correct? Look at yourself spiritually, not like, is one ear lower than the other? We used to have them on our mirror underneath, Christ in you. Christ in you. What does that mean? Who are you? Well, I'm someone who, I don't like my clothes. Christ in you. Think spiritually. Can you heal people? Yes. Yes, you can. 2 Kings 6. Never compare yourself. Never compete. That's just five senses reasoning. It's old man. It's the flesh. We all fit. I think Patty prayed that. In this body, we all have function, purpose. We all do something so well. And we all contribute. In 2 Kings 4. Oh, 6, sorry. Verse 8, it says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servant, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not that place, for thither the Syrians have come down. So the Syrians would come to attack him, and the man of God would tell him what? What resources do we have? We can know how to, you know, the situation was, oh no, the Syrians are attacking us. Oh yes, we have a great God. And he works in this guy, and we can avoid them forever if we want to. That causes great joy, doesn't it? Or, oh no, the Syrians are attacking. Wah, wah. No, we got a God who takes care of us. Think spiritually. Verse 10, and the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of and saved him there, not once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Who was on the king of Israel's side? And one of his servants said, none of us, Lord, O Lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. They have a God over there in Israel, and that's why you can't prosper against them. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. So they go to Dothan, where Elisha is, and they surround the city with chariots, horses, a great host. And when the servant of the man of God, verse 15, was risen early and gone forth, behold, what did he see? Reason for depression. He's just going out there to probably do his business. And what's he see? A whole army coming to catch him. Yeah, that's a bad day. Unless you know that God has a bigger army to take care of you. Then it's what? A reason for joy. A reason to rejoice. Spiritually. Think spiritually. Think who your father is. Think of the spiritual kingdom and who runs it and who is the most powerful and who can do the most. Who is over it all? Verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, what are we going to do? Not very happy about that, was he? And he answered, Fear not. This is a spiritual man. This is what a spiritual person would say in any kind of negative situation. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than one. That's how Elisha saw it. You're afraid about that army? You're not being very spiritual, because we have a bigger army behind me, and we always have. And he probably had joy. Like, oh, good. Doesn't bother me. And Elisha prayed, verse 17, and said, Lord, I pray thee, open my eyes. Open his eyes that he may see. Now look at this. The Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And that's what we need to do. The adversary blinds people so that they don't see the spiritual reality. They can't see God and who he is. We can't be blind. We can't be blinded by our flesh, by our senses, by just our reason. We need to think spiritually. And he said, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And what did he see? And saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What did he see? God was bigger. God had more. God could take care of it. It was going to be okay. And do you suppose he had a little joy when he saw that? A little rejoicing, maybe a little merriment. Maybe his heart was a little merry. Yeah. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. Is God got it for you? Does he have your back? Does he have you surrounded? Will he take care of you? Will he put his hosts, the Lord of hosts, will he come and take care of all of his resource? Well, I guess I don't have to worry so much, do I? I guess I can be blessed. I guess I can have some joy. I guess I can have a merry heart. And that does me some good. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of the Lord. And then you can read the rest of the record. But it sounds a lot like what Elisha said, 1 John 4:4. And this is how we can think, how we can think spiritually. 1 John 4:4. How about this? There's some negative situations, and they are negative. But, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and of what? Think spiritually. Think spiritually. Ye are of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Doesn't that say it? Is that true? Now, will your senses agree with that? No, I'm not as great as Brad Pitt or El Puma. Yeah, you are. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Think spiritually. And wow, when it comes to the things that are in the world, the spirits that run this world, greater is he that is in me. That gives me great joy. Because it is a rough place and there is a lot of bad situations. But to know that greater is he that is in you than in me than he in the world, that's a reason to rejoice. That's a reason to be merry. Look at Philippians 4. There's millions of these. They're little vitamins. You got to think about them once in a while. We all know them. Why not stop and think about them? Philippians 4. Verse 13. I never heard this verse before, so I thought I'd read it to you. But a spiritual person who understands the spiritual world and who understands who their God is gets great comfort from this verse when nasty, bad things are happening. I can do all things through Christ who what? Is that true? Your reason, your flesh, will never agree with that. You just have to think spiritually. And one of the definitions for believing is that you don't believe because you've seen it. You believe because you have heard it from God's word. That's a spiritual person. Look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 6. Let's see how spiritual you are. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. The word accepted means he's made us graceful, delightful, lovely, and agreeable. Is that how you think of yourself? Your senses, your reason will never agree with that. There's too many reasons why you're not graceful. You're not delightful. You're not lovely. You're not agreeable. And yet, what does God say he's made you? Accepted. Dare you think what the word says about yourself? That you're graceful, delightful, lovely, and agreeable. That's what he's made you. In the beloved, you're just in this place where you're just so loved. One of the people that God just deeply, deeply loves. How do you see yourself? How do you picture yourself? Picture yourself spiritually, but never expect your senses to back you up or your reason. You think that because of what? You've read it in God's word. And God's word is spirit, spiritual. You understand? 1 Corinthians 15. I like this one. You know, aren't these great verses?
Yeah.
They're great little vitamins, aren't they? Maybe we should put a bunch of them in a box and take a bunch every day. Because, you know, they'll help us with our joints. And one, they'll help you with our heart. And they'll help us with our, they'll help us to remember stuff. Some of them that you take help you remember stuff. But how about having a whole box of these vitamins? And we just take them every day like people take their vitamins every day. You know people who take like 100 vitamins every day? How about 100 verses every day? Just think them. Storing them up. Piling them up. Until they become your heart. And your heart is merry. 1 Corinthians 15. I love this because it says we already won. 1 Corinthians 15, you can read the context sometime. It's the gathering. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us what? The victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a loser?
No.
You already won. I like this because it's like, this life is really short. It is. And if you, in your life, manage to get born again, you won life. You won. Because if you manage to get born again, you got what? Eternal life. Eternal life. So if in this short little life, and the way God looks at things is a short life. If you did nothing else but got born again, you won in life. You won. And if you get other people born again, you're a super winner. You help them to win. But do you think you're a winner? You've been given the victory. You've been given the victory already. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Mark 10. Verse 26. It's a different administration, I understand, but look at what he says there, Jesus Christ. Mark 10, 26. And they were astonished out of measure. That's a great phrase. I am astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are what? Which way do you want to think? I'm a man. It's not possible. With God, what? Possible. Think spiritually. Who your Father is, who God is, the God that you pray to, the God that takes care of you. Romans 8. So you can have joy in any situation. Anticipation of deliverance. Anticipation of the hope. Thankfulness for what he's done for you. Think spiritually, and you'll have a merry heart. Romans 8. Is that what I said? Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Be spiritual. Think spiritually. Proverbs 4. We'll close here. And all the congregation said, amen. You know, you are graceful and delightful and lovely and agreeable. And I don't even have to look at your face to know that. Because that's spiritually you are. Think of what you are, what a powerhouse you are. How wonderful God has made you. And that reality is greater than the 5 senses, what you can pick up with your 5 senses. When you got born again, your whole being changed. Everything changed. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. Keep means to keep in a safe or secret place, to guard or look after. Look out. Think about what you're thinking about. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Diligence is a keeping above all keeping. It could be read, keep your heart with all keeping. A keeping, above all that is kept. You're going to watch anything. If you're going to keep track of anything, keep track of what goes into your heart. Be aware of the thoughts that you are storing up. And your brain changes when you think spiritually, when you think God's word, when you put the word on in your mind. One of the reasons that these weekends are so great is because we get fed tons and tons and tons of food, don't we? And you will notice, even the most callous among you, that by Sunday afternoon, you'll be lighter. You'll be more blessed. You'll be more positive. You'll have more hope. Just because that's what God's word does for people's brains. It's good vitamins. And it's thinking spiritually that helps us to have a merry heart. And having a merry heart is good for you. It's healing. It's healthy. It makes your life much better. All right. That's all I got. Father, thank you so much for your great love for us. Thank you for how kind you are to us. Thanks for how you remind us of your, how wonderful you are in the manifestations. And thank you for backing up your word and answering people's prayers and delivering people who ask for deliverance. Thank you for taking pressure off of people, taking burdens off of people so that they can be lightened, so that they can enjoy their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.